Brookings 3rd at 140.050, Yankton 4th at 133.3, and Huron does post their best team score of the season at 127.65. For Huron, Cameron Ruth was 13th on the vault and beam, tied for 10th on the bar, 6th in the all-around. Easton Eichstad 15th on the floor and was tied for 9th in the all-around. Not much for area basketball last night. Of course, the 281 conference teams all had yesterday off at least due to finishing up the tournament on Thursday. Just have some double-A scores to report. Girls scores, Stevens defeated Watertown 55-50. Rapid City Central 78, Brookings 67. Low-scoring game, Yankton edged Roosevelt 31-29. Boys basketball scores, O'Gorman pulled away in the fourth quarter, defeated Lincoln 57-47. Roosevelt topped Yankton 61-42. Harrisburg built a big early lead and cruised over Sioux Falls Jefferson 67-53. Rapid City Central wins in the final seconds over Brookings 57-56. And Rapid City Stevens outlasted Watertown 41-37. College basketball out of the Northern Sun. Northern defeated Concordia St. Paul 71-61. Augustana 70, Bemidji 60. Sioux Falls defeated Minnesota Crookston 56-48. Men's scores, Northern defeated Concordia St. Paul 94-89 in overtime. Augustana blitzed Bemidji 98-77. And Sioux Falls defeated Minnesota Crookston 74-47. Boys hockey last night, Huron on the road. Pierre shuts out Huron 7-0. That's the rundown of our scores. Look at the schedule for today. We do have high school basketball on the air this afternoon. Huron Tigers hosting Sioux Falls Jefferson. We're shooting for a 1:30 tip-off for the girls, followed by the boys 1:10 pregame over on Tiger. Also, the 20-year anniversary of the 2004 boys basketball state champions. They will be honored at halftime of the boys game. One other area doubleheader, McLaughlin is at Miller. Girls basketball today, DeSmit plays Lower Brule at the Dakota Valley Conference Classic. Sanborn Central Woonsocket will play Elk Point Jefferson at a Classic in Irene. Woolsey Wessington is at Potter County. Boys basketball, the Hanson Classic is on, even with the weather. DeSmit will play St. Thomas More in Mitchell as part of that event today. And here on Tiger Wrestling is on the road today after duels last night. Cold morning on the bus, but they're headed to Chamberlain for the River City Rumble, and that is our local schedule for today. Quick reminder for Huron baseball, summer baseball signups. I know it's one of our coldest days of the year, but summer baseball signups are coming up on Wednesday. This is for U13, U14 teeners, and U16 and Legion players. It'll be next Wednesday for the signup. Kerr Community Room at the Campus Center. Sign up 6:30 till 7 for U13, U14, 7 till 7:30, U16 and Legion. And boy, the baseball age this year is their age as of January 1st. Scholarships are available. Any questions, contact Matt Wenzel with Huron Little League, 605-280-2923. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk Huron Tiger Wrestling with coaches Drew Strand and Matt Goth. Girls basketball with head coach Cody Kaufman. Boys basketball with head coach Tim Budenhagen. And we'll also talk 281 Conference Tournament for about the fourth time in the last 60 years by my count. The 281s had to deal with weather issues and getting that tournament in. But at the end, they always seem to get all 24 games in over the seven-day period. And they were able to do so this year, even though they did have to shuffle things around a bit. Mike Ruth, superintendent AD at Iroquois, has run the tournament here the last couple of years, and they are making a few changes coming up for next year. Format stays basically the same, just the days are going to be a little different. We'll talk to Mr. Ruth about putting that tournament on, all that goes into it, and hoping that maybe we can move forward now and not worry about weather so much like we have the past few years for that. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show, and that will be coming up at about 8 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. First up this morning, we talk Cody Kaufman, head coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball. Tigers with a record of 3-6, and they are hosting Sioux Falls Jefferson, ranked number 2 today, doubleheader at the arena, coming off a nice win over Brookings on Tuesday. And, Coach, Tuesday, Brookings, a lot of positives out of that. I thought the last 11 minutes, girls just maybe learned a few lessons from the past. When Brookings was trying to keep it close, we got on, I think, a 5-0 run, really, all it was, into third quarter, and then took control in the fourth and pulled away for the win.
Yeah, you know, we finished a game, right? It was a pretty close game back and forth. I mean, first 2.5 quarters anyway. And we just made some plays, right? You know, Hilton hits that three at the end of the third quarter. It's kind of a big boost, to get us over that edge. And then, the name of our game, I think, in any way you look at it, is how we play defense and how we get stops. And then that transitions into our offense, you know. So, I thought we did a really good job on the defensive end, especially in the fourth quarter. I think they ended up with 8 points or something, but their lowest quarter. But, you know, if you look at it, I think I alluded to it a little bit in the post game the other night, but, you know, I think they scored 9, 8, 9, 9 or something, you know. So didn't get to 40 points, under 10 points a quarter. That's got to be our goal every night. If we can hold teams under 40 points, which we've done a pretty good job of, this year, other than I think against Sioux Falls Jefferson, maybe they scored over 40, Sioux Falls Washington scored over 40. But when we can do that, when we can hold teams under 40, and we can, and our magic number is usually about 45, we win basketball games and we're in basketball games.
They mentioned Hilton Hines hitting that three at the end of the third quarter, and she's finally maybe starting to break out. I just felt she was frustrated for a lot of the first month of the season. Those drives into the paint, trying to draw contact, getting the shot up. They just weren't dropping for her. She would get to the free throw line, but those shots weren't dropping. Now they're starting to drop a little more, and that just makes us more dangerous to get the outside open for Hampton.
Well, you know, you look at Hilton, she's growing, right? She's growing as a player, learning different ways to score. You know, I think early on in the year, you know, her one thought was the only way I can score is if I get a layup at the rim. You look at Tuesday night, you know, 2 threes made, 8 for 8 from the free throw line, you know, so, you know, there's 14 points, and then she had, you know, three buckets in the lane. And if my memory serves me right, maybe one of them was a layup, but the other two were, you know, little floaters from 10, 12 feet, pull-up jumper type of things. She didn't have to get all the way to the basket and shoot a layup. So she's growing. She's learning as a player. She's learning that her skill level is much more than just making layups, and we keep telling her that, you know, I want to see her shoot more from the outside. She's very capable when she has the confidence to do so. Just trying to, you know, have her believe in herself and that she can make those outside shots. And hopefully after Tuesday night, seeing that a little bit, she's got more confidence to open up her game a little bit and extend her range.
And all the girls really kind of picked it up. Hampton Hines was in a little foul trouble, not big, but she did pick up two fairly quickly in the game, then did play quite a while without picking up the third, but you also sat her a bit. That mean other girls had to step up. I thought Hilton did. I thought the two big girls, Lizzie Heinen, Mackenzie Simmonsma, just got their spots. I remember they ran a high-low once, which kind of like to see a little more of that as well, and we saw some good ball movement.
Yeah, you know, there was twice where we caught the ball in the high post, which is going to be open when we see zone because of Hampton on the outside, you know, and then Lizzie or Kenzie on the block. So our high post is going to be open. They can't cover at all. So when we get that ball to the high post, that's always the teaching moment is we got to face up, right, and look at the basket and then see what's open. And we did that twice. We had two high lows. I don't remember who benefited from them. I think Lizzie benefited from Kenzie once, and Kenzie might have benefited from Tatum once. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Something along those lines, though. But we got to do more of that when we see zone is getting, you know, relieving the pressure by getting the ball in the middle of the zone and then being able to attack it. And you're exactly right. Just learning, keep learning. And I know it's game 10 now, and, you know, there's always learning to be done, though. So we keep learning how to play a little bit more without Hampton. Not that that's advantageous to us, but it's going to happen at some point, and it did the other night. And, we just kept battling and, you know, kept executing the way we're supposed to execute with or without Hampton on the floor, and everybody kind of stepped up and did their job.
You know, Allie Davis is one. She's kind of unsung there. She's not scoring a lot of points right now. She will be asked to do that. But, you know, sometimes I just feel like depending what the makeup is on the floor, her role can change.
Yeah, you know, if you watch, you know, and it's a statistic that's kept and we see it, but it's not something that's ever, you know, put in the media or anything, is deflections. Allie has probably between 5 and 6, 7 deflections a game on the defensive end, which is a big deal, right? When they can't make their pass clean to swing it, to reverse it, to get in their offense. There's a lot of things that Allie does that aren't necessarily noticed in the box score, but are noticed when we watch the film. Another thing she does a great job of is getting out and running in the open court. And she's good for at least once a game, you know, breaking down the sideline and getting some kind of a layup. You know, that's a big deal to us. So, as her develop, she'll keep developing as a scorer and as a shooter. But right now, she just does a lot of the little things on the defensive end that are helping us out big time.
And then bench players, Allison James and Tatum Peterson, had some extra minutes too. I mean, Allison James is pretty much playing starter minutes anyway, but those two had some extra minutes too with the little bit of foul trouble we had. And you can really, you know, Tatum's just growing. She popped a three in Mitchell a week and a half ago, and you mentioned the little high-low she did on Tuesday, and she's getting a little more comfortable too, knows what her role is coming in.
And that's the biggest growth that I've seen from game one, you know, to today is, you know, the confidence that our bench has, and then the willingness to be able to attack a little bit. You talk about Tatum, you know, hitting that three and Mitchell, I think that as she gets, you know, she just gets more comfortable every time, all the time that she's on the floor. Seems like she's always coming up with big rebounds, you know, she's always got a big rebound in her lap. Just does a lot of the little things. Tatum, I can get after Tatum a little bit, and Tatum understands that. But Tatum responds well to it all the time. And then Allison James, you go back to the Mitchell game as well, talk about attacking. You know, she made a couple of good drives, dumped down to Lizzie. She's getting better. She's getting more comfortable with the ball in her hands, attacking, making things happen rather than just being so passive. So our bench is growing as our team is growing, and that's only going to make us better as we go down the stretch.
Now the bench will be – somebody's going to have to step up here eventually. I did get a bad break on Tuesday. Maddie Juergens, really your third girl off the bench, loss for the season with a knee injury in the JV. And tough for her. You know, she's a junior. She had worked her way into the rotation. But there's something about this week for here on Tiger Girls Basketball. We need to change. It was a year ago tomorrow that Allison James hurt her knee. Now Maddie Juergens this year. So bottom line is, we're gonna have to. There's girls that know they're gonna get some chances here.
Yeah, you know, so we're looking for someone, you know, to play, you know, some minutes. You know, Maddie didn't play every game, you know, and when she did, she played 4, 5, 6 minutes. But it's heartbreaking because if you know Maddie, you ask a teammate, you ask a coach, she's a teammate and a coach's dream. You know, she shows up every day, works her tail off. I mean, gives you everything she's got, doesn't ever complain about anything, doesn't ever ask why, doesn't just knows, you know, knows her role, knows her responsibilities, and she's a person that you could trust to just do the right things. She was never going to be flashy. She was never going to, you know, wow you in any way, But what she was going to do is she was going to be in the right spots, and you could trust that she was going to do the right thing. So heartbreaking for Maddie. I know that coming, you know, I know that her love is volleyball, and that's what our goal is to get her back for the volleyball season, you know, being a junior and playing her senior year of volleyball, and then, of course, basketball as well. But it is confirmed that she did tear her ACL. You know, they're working through timelines on when she's going to, you know, have surgery and stuff like that. But we wish Maddie the best, and we hate to see it, but you're absolutely right. We've had some discussions now as a program and with some athletic trainers and stuff on how to kind of, you know, if it's more stretching and more, you know, doing stuff like that to try and avoid some more ACL knee injury type things. I think Dr. Joe Carr sent me a statistic. I think that's 7 ACLs, I want to say, since like 2015. 17,
and,
maybe.
And real estate, girls are more susceptible to them than boys, but everybody's susceptible.
Absolutely, you know. So trying to do some different stuff here in the off season and during the season to try and help that out, you know, and that's just ACLs. That's not counting any other serious injuries that we have, you know. So going to try and do some things, especially this summer, to get stronger to prevent some of this stuff. But we hate to see it, and you're exactly right as far as we're looking for someone else to step up, you know, and give us some key minutes off the bench.
So now Sioux Falls Jefferson today, they're ranked number 2. They might come in a little cranky as they just picked up their second loss of the season. Harrisburg, a team we just played 2 weeks ago and played them to a 4-point game. And I was just looking at the roster. I see a couple of girls that I do recognize the name from last year. Jaden Dunn's probably the top one.
Yeah, you know, they came off of a very tough game against, you know, Harrisburg on Thursday, you know, and that's probably – you know, 2 of the top 3 teams in the state, in my opinion, you know. So, yeah, they're going to come in, you know, they're going to come in a little angry, you know, unfamiliar of losing, and especially losing, you know, a big game like that. So they're going to come to Huron today and probably be pretty hungry. Yeah, Jada Dunn, you know, she's a she's been playing for 3 years for sure, you know. And
she's a Jefferson original, basically.
Yeah, you know, and started at – or signed at South Dakota State to play basketball, you know. So she's very good inside, and she's good outside too. She's very skilled. You're going to see her today, you know, dribble the ball up the court a lot. She can get the rebound, and she can just go. So she's very good. The name's drawn me a blank, but there's a freshman now, Altenberg.
Okay, Altenberg. Yep.
She's a freshman from at Jefferson, and she's 6 foot. She's left-handed. She scores it from all 3 levels. I know she has very high major colleges talking to her already. In fact, she did it as an 8th grader, and she couldn't even play varsity sports for Sioux Falls. So she's very good. And then they just – their pressure defense is a lot. I mean – they're going to get – they might press us for 32 minutes, and it might be a 20-point game, and they won't take it off. That's just how they do it. So we got to be able to handle their pressure today, you know, get the ball across half court, and then run offense. We can't just jack up the first quick shot we have. So tough task today, but, again, you know, we've proven that, you know, especially on Saturday afternoons, it seems like we kind of play our best basketball. So we've proven that we can show up and play with the best teams in the state and – hopefully give us a chance to win at the end.
And also a fun day, too, have the 04 team coming back, as many as can. You were a member of that team, going to be recognized at halftime of the boys' game, and I believe there's a birthday party tonight as well for your dad and a guy that looks exactly like him.
Yeah, busy day for the Kaufman family, I guess you could say. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing everybody on that 2004 state championship team. You know, there's, like I said, you talk to a few of them. Some of them are still in Huron that you get to see, but some of them aren't, you know. So it'll be exciting. It'll be fun to, you know, get together and reminisce a little bit on that. And, yeah, see everybody and just catch up with everybody because, man, it was a ride that you'll never forget, you know, and it's...
Okay. I was talking to Bud about that, too. I remember every detail of that weekend back in 04.
It's... You don't forget a lot of it, you know, and the things that stand out to me the most, I mean, honestly, I remember, you know, I was thinking I was second or third in the line as you run out, and that's a championship game, and you run out, and it was a roar, and it was, you know, it was 90% orange, you know, it was, it was unbelievable. Though I get, you know, chills just sitting here talking about now, you know, so the fan base was unreal. I'll never forget when we turned off of, Highway 34 and came onto 37, and you looked back and all the cars were trailing us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the line of cars was just unreal. It was the fans, and then when we pulled up to the high school for the welcome home ceremony and all the people that were there, like, those are the things that you remember the most, is how awesome, you know, how awesome the fans are and continue to be in Huron. So it'll be fun today to catch up to everybody and see everybody. And then, you alluded to it there. My dad and uncle had a 60th birthday on Thursday, the 18th. So having a little get-together for them in Alpena. So everybody in Alpena will be there, I'm sure, because everybody knows everybody.
You're being pulled in different directions today.
I am. That's the typical, though, right, is nothing going on and then everything going on the same day. So it'll be a fun day. Hopefully looking forward to, you know, going out and competing hard against Sioux Falls Jefferson and proving that we belong again with one of the best teams in the state. And, you know, and then we'll have fun after that. So
11 o'clock is when lower levels start today, right?
11 o'clock is when the JV girls start, and that is at the arena today.
Yep, so yep. Girls lower level at the arena, boys at the middle school starting 11 o'clock.
Correct, yep.
Cody Kaufman, head coach here on Tiger Girls. We have more to come on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Next up, Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk Huron Tiger Wrestling. Girls and boys hosted Yankton Duel last night. Both got duel wins. We start off with the girls. Head coach Drew Strand on the post-match last night. While the Tigers did win the duel, it came off forfeits. They lost the three matches that they actually wrestled. And, Coach, you said coming in, well, Yankton, not a lot of girl wrestlers, but they do have quality with what they do have.
Yep. I mean, they definitely are. They come out here, and the three girls that they got, they're definitely pretty solid. You know, I know the two, the 138-pounder and the 145-pounder, they're ranked on Dakota Grappler, so I knew those were going to be pretty tough. You know, our girls just kind of went out and fought their best fight. You know, I bumped a couple girls up just to, you know, get some matches and kind of see where we're at, you know. So they came out ready to go. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't win any of those, but we ended up getting the dual win, which is good for the girls to see, especially the new ones in the sport.
Leshka Oya Rodriguez, she did lose, but 4-0 against Monica Massey, who's a pretty decent wrestler. I've seen that name before for Yankton, and you just said the thing with her is she's just getting better and better. As a freshman, she's still learning.
Yep, I mean, new girl this year, just came out, you know, and she's got the toughness and the attitude, you know, to become a good wrestler, and she's just continued to learn and continue to press throughout. You know we wrestled this girl week one when we went to Watertown, and we got pinned by her, so, you know, just a good improvement for her and kind of see her growth against somebody that she's already wrestled before.
Yankton only brought three wrestlers, and that just kind of shows you where we're at with girls wrestling. You have your Piers, Harrisburgs, Cantons, they have pretty much full rosters. They can do separate duels from the boys, and, you know, and it's kind of just a mix and match thing here.
Yep, I mean, it's mix and match, you know. Girls, you know, it's nice to give the girls, you know, kind of under the lights still and kind of give them that same feel no matter what the dual type situation is, you know, if they got a full team or not, just to get these girls more experience and more things. You know, I know the girls, the first time we came under the lights, they were super nervous, super scared about it, and they couldn't believe they were about to wrestle under the lights with everything else off and all the people that were in the stands watching them, you know. So it's just something incredible, you know, to see in South Dakota and how girls has taken off, and unfortunately, we still do have that gap where some teams are filled or filling and other teams, you know, aren't there yet. But, you know, I feel like in a couple of years here, you'll kind of see girls just continue to take off just from where we've gone in the last couple of years that we've started to do it. And, you know, eventually I think they're in the grand schemes of things, I think they eventually want to split off and have a girls' state separate from the boys, kind of like basketball and every other sport we do. So
Well, Saturday, it's River City Rumble with the boys, and I know Coach Goth's always like that. I assume you like it, too. You're just going to see a few teams you don't normally see.
Yep, it's a good opportunity to go out there and see some wrestlers from out west, you know. And, you know, for the girls, this part of the season is kind of big for us. You know, we come in, and all of a sudden here we start going, and girls don't have a region, so it's top 16. So if we can get some of the wins over the girls from the west that we won't see again, it'll help us in our top 16 seedings and have the last win over them and hopefully help us get more girls into the state tournament.
And I was checking the schedule there, and I guess I wasn't aware of this, or maybe you did do it last year. There's an ESD girls tournament?
Yeah, we did it last year, but we had a snowstorm, so I think we rescheduled or we kind of split it, and it was in Mitchell last year. That was kind of the first time that I think I've seen it happen. So, you know, we're continuing with it. I know we got to go down to Harrisburg for it. It's usually a big tournament for us with some of the girls that miss some of the tournaments, so they get that same opportunity there where it comes down to the wire there where, you know, it's either win and you get into the state tournament, or if you lose, you end up watching it at home. You know, I know last year we had a couple girls go down there, and they were fortunate enough to get some wins to push them into that state tournament. So hopefully we can kind of continue, and hopefully we don't have, you know, to wait till that last tournament, and we can get some wins here as the season kind of progresses towards the end.
And just wrap it up with this, you know, we're getting, we're just past the middle of January now. Now you kind of see the end in sight. What are some of the things you want to see the girls improve on? Obviously, tournaments like Chamberlain, ESD, those now become very important. As you mentioned, no region, so you have to get yourself seated in the top 16.
Yep, I mean, the individual tournaments are super important for girls just because, you know, not every team we duel against has a full team, so unfortunately every girl doesn't get a match. But it still helps out their record being a dual format. So, you know, we just got to continue to go. I know we got Chamberlain, which we'll see girls that we don't usually see. And then next weekend we go to Aberdeen, which is another big one with a few girls that will be there. So, you know, just continue to, you know, win some matches at these individual tournaments is the hope for these girls so they can find a way to make the state tournament.
Tiger Boys picked up a 60-18 dual win last night, and Coach Matt Goth joined us afterward and said just a good meet, a lot of pins, a lot of nice wins, and nice to win at home as well, but it got started right away.
Brady Meyer picked up a win. We were able to get Josh show forfeit. Tegan Lean wrestled a tough match, but just wrestled a hard senior, somebody who's been wrestling for a long time on the varsity level. Lado picked up a big win. Wrestled tough. He's been injured on and off throughout the year, so it was nice to see him get a win. Moses wrestled well, got a win. Even after almost giving up a takedown, he came back and wrestled through it. TJ Lean started off varsity pretty well for him this season with a pin. Shar also came off with a win. He's also been one that's been injured, so it was nice to see him get off the mat early with that pin. Da, he has wrestled pretty well this year. Always wrestling tough. Bigger kids, it seems like. He's a short 190 pounder, so for him to get a win was pretty exciting. Brian Ramirez got a win against a tough opponent in the third period.
And just, you know, just a lot of good things we saw there. I guess one guy I want to pinpoint right away, TJ Lean. He's had a very frustrating junior year with the foot injury that kept him out of pretty much all across country and delayed his wrestling season. So had to be good for him. He, you know, got his first varsity appearance and took care of business.
Yeah, TJ wrestled pretty well. Like you said, he's struggled seeing the field or the cross country course or the wrestling mat throughout most of the year. He works super hard. Even though he's injured, he was always getting workouts in. So it's nice to see him going in the right direction now.
And just, you know, a few other ones. Moses Gross, you mentioned he almost got taken down. And, you know, and when we mention that, that just tells you just how surprising that is, because usually he just takes care of business, which he did, Tech Fall 20-2. And almost looks like he just decides, you know what, I think I'll get a Tech Fall tonight instead of a pin. And while it maybe got taken a little bit by surprise, obviously took control after that.
Yeah, the kid came out with a plan, trying to get the first takedown, and he almost had it on Moses. But after that, Moses settled down and got to work.
And overall, just, you know, good wrestling all around. I said when he wins 60-18, it was good to get the duel in, go off to Chamberlain now next. And Chamberlain, you know, like Coach Strand just said, Chamberlain is very important because there's a lot of region teams there.
Yeah, we get to see a lot of those region teams. We see Sisseton, Milbank, Mitchell, Chamberlain, Todd County, Cheyenne Eagle Butte. We don't see these teams a lot, so it's nice when we can match up against some of these region teams and try to get seeds for the region tournament and try putting us in position to make it to the state tournament in February.
Matt Goth, head coach here on Tiger Boys Wrestling. Boys and girls both dueling and winning with Yankton last night. Now the bus heads on this frigid morning to Chamberlain, the River City Rumble. Always a fun meet for the teams. Also, as we said, an important meet, especially the boys, as a lot of region seating could be decided during the meet today with a lot of region teams there. So wrestling today for the Huron Tigers. We'll be back. We're still going to talk 281 Conference Basketball here on Tiger Boys Basketball on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we're talking 281 Conference Basketball, just 280 Conference itself. Mike Ruth is AD, Superintendent over in Iroquois, and I like to call him Commissioner of the 281 Conference, running the tournament this past weekend. And Mike, I don't know what it is about this past weekend. I think 4 out of 6 years you've had to make weather adjustments, and I don't know if any year was harder than this one.
It was pretty hard. When you have wind chill warning, switching to a wind chill advisory, you're trying to get games in, you're trying to take care of kids, and everybody wants safety, and you're trying to get games in, and everybody wants to play, so it's always a tough situation when weather comes up. And you're right, it seems like lately we've had tough decisions to make and trying to come up with a scenario to get the games in, get the tournament played. Everybody wants to have a champion crown. We like to play in the arena. We don't want to lose that experience. So all that comes into play and in the discussions when we have weather.
And every school has different policies. For instance, this past Monday, there were three schools that actually were holding classes or were planning to on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, ended up having to a couple of them call off due to the weather. So, the different schools have different things going on.
Right, and we did talk about that. So when you have that situation, obviously most times you cancel events. Well, when you have a tournament, it's a little harder to do that and then try to get everybody games played. And then you have some having school, some not having school. So you're right, the policies come into play. So you try to take care of that ahead of time with give us the okay to play if we call off school based on the weather and of course safety. Our road conditions were pretty good Monday. The wind chill advisory or warning was changing to an advisory later in the day. So we thought we could get the games in, and we ended up doing that. So it worked out how we thought it would. So,
but that's only part of the equation here, because got to make sure the teams can play, but then workers got to come in and work. Officials, when you start postponing things, as well as anybody, officials can be an issue.
Yeah, and I had them on board, and they were all ready to go. So we had contacted them. I did that on Saturday and told them the possibilities of Monday, or if we lose Monday, what the next possibilities were. So everybody had that, and our officials are great with that, very flexible, jump to the aid when we need them. So you're right. And then the ticket takers and the scorekeepers, and that ended up being a little bit of an issue on Monday and Tuesday at James Valley. So that there are other people involved, you're right.
But even if you don't have issues, the workers still come into play. I remember when Coach Scouten was running for James Valley Christian back a few years ago, he said finding people to work at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning isn't always the easiest thing.
No, people have jobs, amazingly enough, and so it is. And luckily here at the arena, we do have the ticket takers or volunteers. I don't know how long they're going to be volunteering because some of them are getting maybe tired of doing it for so many years. But, you know, you have luckily our score table's great, and they're very flexible, and they come into play too. So, yeah, all those things are factors.
And let's just talk about the 281 tournament as a whole, because there's not a lot of these tournaments left anymore. There's a few of them. But not a lot of people run, no, not a lot of conferences, you know, like the Dakota Valley where Lake Preston was, they went away from their conference tournament, you know, and it, from that standpoint, I think the 281's kind of proud to say, we still run this because the kids want it, the people, everybody wants it.
There's a good history with it. I mean, and I've ref some games in here during the 281 conference tournament, which the championship game were two of the best teams in the state playing right here in the arena. So there's been a good, solid, full history in the 281. We still want it. You're right, the DVC now does a border battle instead of their conference tournament. That's happened the last maybe 3 years, I'd say. So, yeah, we're pretty proud of our tournament. There's been no discussion about not doing it anymore. I suppose maybe down the road maybe that will happen, but as of right now, we're still pretty proud of it.
And let's talk a little Iroquois Lake Preston. You're in the second year of the co-op. Some unknowns last year as you went into it, but from everything I've heard, sounds like things have went well. So you had a little bitter feel of things coming into this year.
We did, and it has been great. You know, I'm the Iroquois side of it. Lake Preston, easy to work with. We get along well, similar philosophies about almost everything. Very flexible with schedule changes. We adapt very well. Our coaches adapt very well. It's been one of the best co-op experiences I've had. I've had a few in the past that aren't as good. You got some personalities there that maybe don't like it as much, but ours has been very well, and it's benefited both schools. We're competitive in most of our games, even if we get beat, maybe don't have the best record sometimes, but most of our games are very competitive, and we're very pleased with that, and it gives our kids a better experience.
You know, not only that, for instance, Lake Preston gets the conference tournament experience now because they're playing here in the 281, and you know, those are the things, again, it comes to the kids. I know people like to play here in the arena, and that's a good part of it as well.
It is. The arena, you know, on the game script, I put world famous Huron Arena. I don't know if it's actually world famous, but it's certainly famous in our state, and no matter who you ask, everybody says it's a great place to watch a game. I think the kids enjoy playing here, and it's a great atmosphere. Even if the crowds aren't great all the time, it's when the crowd erupts, it's so loud, and the atmosphere is awesome here. It's just second to none, in my opinion.
Now, I can't remember if we talked about this or not. I don't think we did, but with all the things that have happened the past few years, weather, we do have a change in how you're going to format this tournament starting next year.
We do. The conference has voted to change it from historically, it's been a Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday the last few years. We used to go 5 days. Now we went to 4 days. And now we're doing four different days. So next year, we'll start on Thursday with the girls. We'll go to Friday with the boys. And then we're skipping Saturday. That gets us off the Hanson Classic. It gets us off. Gets us another snow possibility or snow day if we need it. We're going to go to Monday and then use JVC and the arena. We'll stay in Huron on that Monday, and then Thursday will be the finals as has been done in the past and as what we're doing today as well. So it'll be Thursday, Friday, Monday, Thursday next year, and hopefully that gives us a little more flexibility with snow days, gives us a little bit more of a arena experience, and then in the same town with that consolation bracket and championship bracket in the same town.
And to wrap it up here, I know it's been a lot of white knuckles here the past 5-6 years because of the weather. Always seems to land on this past particular weekend. But at the end of the day, we always get all 24 games in.
We seem to somehow. You know that 90-day fog thing. We need to get the 90-day fog thing either before this week or after this week so that we don't have the weather this week. But yeah, it seems like we, you know, and that is a credit to every AD and all the schools, superintendents and school boards that are flexible enough to allow for this experience for the kids, and we're grateful for that.
Mike Ruth. He's the activities director and superintendent at Iroquois High School, and for the past few years also had the unofficial title of the commissioner of the 281 Conference. And talking about this past week, as it seems like more often than not anymore, weather affects that annual basketball tournament, but at the end all 24 games get in pretty much in the time span, and a few changes coming up next year. Found that interesting as well. We'll be back, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We resume on Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk with Tim Budenhagen, head coach of the Huron Tiger boys basketball team. Huron improved their record to 5-4 on Tuesday with a convincing win over the Brookings Bobcats. And coach, I think everything kind of came together. A lot of contributions, defense, offense. Otherwise, I think you even said afterward, maybe our best complete game of the year so far.
Yeah, I thought we moved the basketball well. Offensively, we had better movement. We were setting some screens. We had a couple of curls, post up to a back screen, things that we've been trying to work on in practice. We finally saw in a game. It's not perfect by any means, but it's progress. And defensively, I thought we did a really nice job on Burns and Clark, held them in check. Because we haven't been doing that with the best scores from other teams. So I thought, overall, basketball IQ-wise and also execution-wise, that was probably one of our better games of the year.
And one thing I did notice, we sure did put up a lot of threes on Tuesday.
Yeah, they were presenting us with those shots. So those are the ones that, that we're going to hunt. We're going to take those. They take away the paint, kick out. Ready to shoot it. We've been preaching that we need to have that gunslinger mentality, because once you get into the DAC 16, you can't have any fear. And last year, our weak spot was shooting a three against, obviously, Washington. They packed the paint. They dared us to shoot the three, and we couldn't put the ball in the hole. So that gunslinger mentality, we got to be able to put the ball in the hole. And fortunately, we were able to hit, I think, 15 threes against Brookings, so we got to continue to progress. Again, our best shooting night as well.
And go along with that, I can't think of hardly anybody, at least the guys in the rotation, where you would say, no, I don't want you to shoot a three. We got most of our guys are capable of it.
Yeah, we're very capable, and work on it every day. That's one of the things that you circle, the great equalizer in basketball, is can you shoot that three? Because if you can, the points add up awfully quickly. If you can't, it just becomes too tough to score a lot of points. And then you have to try to limit teams to almost nothing on the offensive end. And you and I know that's not gonna happen. So you have got to find ways to score, easy ways to score. So the best way is, from the 3-point line, penetrate or kick it inside. Then have a kick outside, and that's an easy three. Or you get a couple of offensive rebounds like we did. Tap outs lead to an easy shot as well.
And it was nice just to play with a lead. We haven't always been able to do that. I think we might have been down 2-0, but other than that, I think we had the lead, had it to 7 into the first quarter, had it double digits by halftime. And while Brookings made a few runs, I don't know that they ever got closer than 11. And we always haven't been able to do that either.
No, we haven't been able to hold off teams. You know, we get a lead, and all of a sudden it dwindles down to 5 or 6, and now you're struggling to score. Tuesday night we just hit timely shots. You know, they get it to 6, we hit a 3, now it's 9. We get a stop, we get another hoop, now it's 11. So each time they made a run, we answered with one. And we call that the red flag. When the red flag's up, you know, where are we going to get our points? We got to try to keep on executing when damage control is needed. When another team's going on the run, that's a red flag, and now we got to try to find some easy ways to score. And I thought we did that a lot better Tuesday night than we've done in the past.
Now, we've had a couple of days off here, worked through some snow as well, but I'm sure I've got the practices in anyway. Jefferson coming in today, and Jefferson sounds like they're almost a completely different squad. Now, granted, that's going to happen in high schools, but they've had size, they've had athleticism. They probably still have athleticism, but not a ton of size anymore.
Yeah, they get up and down the floor. They play 9 guys. They go 4 out, 1 in. They have a 6'4 kid in the middle, good player, really good player, but it's not the 6'11 that we're used to going against. Mason Payne is a good post player, posts you up, goes right hand, left hand, but they're dominant by the guards, and their guards get up and down the floor. We have got to shut down their transition offense because it is really good. They get it out, they run. They're hitting 141 twos right now compared to about 43s. So we know that their game has transitioned. They're shooting 50% inside the paint and only 30% from outside. So we got to make a pitch on the outside. And that's been the biggest key this week, is to sprint our tails back, get in the paint, get our toes on the three-point line to make it tough to get the ball on the inside.
And I believe this takes us to the middle point of the season as well. And as we look around, you know, Harrisburg and Mitchell probably getting the top accolades at this point. But it looks like there is a little parity. I remember last year at this time, you know, everybody was looking at Lincoln and Jefferson. Those teams ultimately didn't even make it to the championship game. There's chances out there right now.
Yeah, you take a look. I think the third place team has 6 wins, and we have 5, so between 3rd and I think 14th place, there's a separation of 1 to 2 games, and that's about it. So any team, you know, that can get on a late run and kind of distance themselves from the rest, you know, you're going to have a chance to host a game. So we just got to keep on, continue to improve. And you know as well as I do, the teams that have scars at the end of the year are those teams that have gone through the grinder, and they learn how to win and learn how to execute during tough times and games. So we're just hoping we're one of those teams that have those scars and continually improve each and every week.
And in addition to Jefferson coming in today, also having a reunion of the 04 state championship team. Hard to believe that it's 20 years, not quite 20 years yet, but hard to believe it's been that long since these kids hoisted really the last banner for the Huron Tigers. And I know last I heard, I think you said about 10 out of 15 are going to be able to be here.
Yeah, I think we got about 10 guys coming back, so that'll be fun. To see those guys and reminisce a little bit. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years. That just means you and I are getting older, Duff, and that puts us on that downhill slide instead of the uphill climb. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun time. You know, the way those guys handled themselves during that 0-4 run, the way they unified the community, you know, people just kept on coming out that weekend out in Rapid City, and then championship night was special. So it'll be good to see those guys. You know, you don't never know when you're not, when the last time you are going to get together, and this might be one of the last times.
You know, and I was just thinking about that too. I swear I remember every detail of that weekend out in Rapid City.
Yeah, you know, you got a good memory. I'm getting a little older. My mind's getting a little bit less sharp. So, you know, when you're going through it, it's just a blur because as a coach, you're just trying to get to the next game, get prepared. And then at the end, you get a little chance to breathe. But then all of a sudden, you're getting ready for the following season. So it'll be good to reminisce. I got a couple of DVDs that Johnny Webking burned. So I went back and looked at some of those, and it's a little grainy, but you can still see the plays being made and how special a run that really was.
So overall, as I said today, get back to this year's here on Tiger Team. After today, we're halfway through the season. Of course, the schedule will pick up a bit. We got a makeup game next week. But bottom line is, you know, we were a mixture of veteran players, younger players. Hopefully, the Brookings game a good step. As we said, we felt that was probably the best total game we played this year. But now, what can you do to keep moving forward?
Absolutely. You know, we just got to continue to improve. Jefferson tonight, and we got Watertown Tuesday, Lincoln Thursday, all have 5 wins. So those are teams that we're chasing or being chased by. So we got to try to get a couple of those. If we can get two out of three of those, that would be a big statement by us.
Tim Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball. Tiger Girls and Boys doubleheader hosting Jefferson today, shooting for a 1:30 tip-off for the girls, followed by the boys at the arena, and you can hear it on Tiger 95. That'll wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday for today. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment is next, then Inside Twins after that. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Tip of the hat to rodeo fans across North America tuning in to Great American Hometown Radio Station, Sirius XM 147 and Agri-America. Thanks to all the program directors, board ops, and even sales managers up and down the dial for keeping this program blasting out to rodeo fans for over 23 years in county. Yeah, in our first show, Casey Tibbs was leading the bronc riding and Jim Shoulders had the bull riding locked up. Okay, just kidding about that, but not kidding about calving season coming up. Here's a blast from the past, yours truly doing a commercial for the Sioux Steel Calving Pin Care Center from 2002. Still the best unit on the market.
You know, it's a proven fact that there's two things that ranchers enjoy most. Well, actually three, but the two they enjoy most are raising good healthy calves and saving money. If you're nodding your head, then you need to speak to your local Sioux Steel dealer today about our rock-solid calving pin care center. The most rancher-friendly calving pin on the market. Super tough. All the bells and whistles, plus a price you can afford. With these beef prices, you can't afford to lose even one calf. So you need to talk to your local Sioux Steel dealer today about our calving pin care center. Sioux Steel Company, since 1918. Check us out at SiouxSteel.com.
Harken now as we present the top five in each event in a brand spanking new pro rodeo season. The National Western in Denver is just wrapping up and the Black Hills Stock Show Rodeo on Yonder Horizon. Big D, lock it down and let's get it on. In the Bears, Idaho's Coop Cooks Ups, Louisiana's Taylor Broussard Shotgun, Texans Brad Miller and Cole Franks run 3-5. Colorado Kid Keenan Hayes sandwich fourth. Come on now.
I tell you what we're going to do.
We're now getting Buffet Busters. Oklahoma, Shane Fry, Top Dogger, Montation Ty Erickson number 2, Will Loomis of Old Miss 3 card, Texan Justin Schaefer rolls 4th, Cali's Grant Peterson skates for you. Team Roping headers, Manny Egyasquia tip top, then Bird, Dustin Egyasquia, Crichton Britton. On their heels, Texan Evan Arnold number 1, then Folsom McDaniel, Lord and Green. Why so fast? Team Roping, if it were a rodeo, you'd be getting a beer. Am I right?
I got some beers. They strike them, huh?
Santa Bronc Bustin', or as MCD Slickers say, wild bronco taming. Whatevs, Cade Bruno of Idaho is the man. Texan Wyatt Casper on deck. Montana's Quentin Stroh in the hole. Wyoming's Brody Kress and Texan Logan Cook duke it out for 4-5.
Go get him, cowboy.
TDR, tie down rope and Shad Mayfield, John E. Douch,